Session number 6487, reel 3.
So I just showed you,
Mr. Worry, reel 3. How was your social life at Duxford? How did you get on with the other men there?
All right. Social life was all right. I'm playing football half the time. I was always playing football. That was my life. And that's only me that was... That was interesting.
Yeah. How was your health while you were at Duxford? You told me you had been ill in the Middle East.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I picked up. There's a lot of people get malaria. They do get a lot. You admit to the hospital every month for a reoccurrence. That put me back a lot. But I came back all right. And when I came home, I was on the road then, heading towards recovery. And I did too. I did recover in everything I did. I was going on very well. So I was getting fitter, much fitter.
Did you have trouble with the malaria at Duxford?
No, nothing at all. No. I had injections abroad. A Welsh doctor, Phillips, gave me injections, anti-something, malaria injections. Because that was a setback, too. Getting malaria. But lots of us, lots of the boys got malaria. Yeah. Even the nurses got it. And matrons got it in Basra. They were casualties amongst themselves. Yeah.
How was the food at Duxford? You told me about the cold kippers at Farnborough. What was it like at Duxford?
Oh, Duxford's all right. It was acceptable. Oh, yes. Yes, the food was acceptable there. It was just plain food. You're fitter. My experience of life, you're fitter by having plain food, just plain food, than over-rich food. You're fitter by eating the plain food. That's my experience. I'm doing that now. On my own. Just plain food. And I feel 10 times fitter.
You told me you were earning about £2 a week at Duxford. That was quite
good. Oh, no, it was more than that when I got down there. It's pay increased.
And you sent 10 shillings to your mother?
Yeah, 10 shillings.
How did you spend the rest of your money?
We had nothing much to spare, did we? Nothing much. I don't know. It wasn't pubs, anyhow. that wasn't interesting. Well, really, we hadn't had the money to go into pubs and to a luxury out there, but still I was quite happy in the way it was going. As a main factor in my life has been fit. I go jogging now, 81, in the morning, 3 times a week. I put the idea into Mr. Perkins. Mr. Perkins employed me part-time work, looking after the university house, 10 bedrooms. I look after him. And I told him about it. He kept looking at me rather hard. I must say, who have we got here? What kind of a man is this I'm talking to? He couldn't stare at me for a long time. And every time I went in there to talk to him, he wanted to talk to me. He lets accommodations, you see.
I believe you met your wife while you were at Duxford.
Yes, I met her at a Fulham. Charrington. I met her at Charrington. Yeah. And told about this fitness business. To my amazement, he told me, after knowing him about 4 or 5 years, because I helped him 4 or 5 years, the cleaning or looking after the place when I retired, he said to me, do you know what? He says, I went out running, he says, the other morning, and had a shower. You're kidding me. Yeah, I did, he says. Well, you should do, I said, no man, you should. Sitting there on that chair all day long for 8 hours, I says, you should do something about it. All I've done is I feel fine. Well, you will do, I says. I were keen, really. I couldn't kind of lead a life at being lazy and sitting down or something like that. I couldn't lead that life at all. I go out in the morning with a jog, 5 minutes, come back, deep breathing exercises, can enrich the blood, and I feel on top of the world. I'll say about half hour's rest, a cup of tea and a cigarette after, and I feel fine.
Your wife was a Cambridgeshire girl. Did the RAF put any restrictions on your marrying?
No, nothing at all. No, you know, that's the only relaxed part that they had.
Where did you live then, after you married?
In Duxford, a little house in Duxford, in the village. I lived out. I got a ration of tea, a ration of sugar, take the front, and a ration of meat. You call living out rations they call. But anyhow, even so, the food was plain. I felt fitter at Duxford while I have this plain food than I did anywhere else. Much fitter, I felt.
Now, your service terminated at Duxford in 1934.
Yeah, that's right.
And
yeah.
Then you went on the reserve,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah, 4 years on the reserve, yeah.
You were still at Duxford.
Yeah, well, I had a civilian job.
How was your life different as a civilian from in the RAF?
It was strange at first. I couldn't get used to it. I was wondering, see, we lived in barrack rooms all the time. I was coming down the stairs, I always wondered, that strange feeling coming down the stairs when I lived out in the cottage. That's a strange feeling, coming down the stairs, but being used to a ground floor, sleeping on the ground floor in huts. Which interested me. It was strange to me at first, coming down the stairs and it lived out.
Was your work any different as a civilian?
No, it was just the same. They kept the job for you. Well, the only thing I could say about they had an association, the ex-servicemen association, to say that you got the jobs, the main jobs, so that you were employed. Bury St. Edmunds, barracks, Bury St. Edmunds, Army, of course, not the Air Force, Army. They cater for everyone, Navy, Air Force, all a lot, and themselves, by making sure that the ex-servicemen was in employment. That's one good move. That was very, very good move. Whoever was the instigator of that lot, whoever it was, whoever thought about that lot, to make sure.
Why did you stay on at Duxford as a civilian instead of going somewhere else?
To remain on. But war came, didn't it? War was declared. That altered things.
Did you try to re-enlist?
No, they asked me to re-enlist by giving me off my £60, which I refused.
Why?
Because I was turned down in the first place for extending my service by going on the reserve. I was turned down. They turned it down because they told me that, wrote to say that being as you're on government work here, we couldn't see no reason why you should go on the reserve.
And then they changed their minds and they wanted you.
Yeah. I think there's some of the word and some of that there that being that I offered to exterminate my reserve, but got turned down because there's saw no reason why I should go on the reserve at all. So I was free when the war was clear. I was free to do what I like until they found out that the labour exchange found out something about me. That was that experience in aircraft, and of course I had to report from the Labour Exchange to Marshalls or a 24-hour notice. That's how they went on back on aircraft again. From transport to aircraft.
When war was declared, you were still at Duxford as a civilian?
Yeah, yes, right? I was, yeah. Same job.
How did Duxford change with the coming of the war?
Well, it changed a lot. There was three squadrons there. Four. Czechs, British, Polish. Three squadrons. Yeah. Taken off for London. The defence of London.
Was the RAF different in wartime than it
had been? Oh, it's changed. Oh, everything else changed. Yeah, changed. Everything changed. Yeah. I had a friend who was an AC-1 with me before the war. AC-1. The next time I found him, he was a flying officer. And his friend was a squadron leader. And he was only just an Akhema. They call him Akhema in the Air Force.
They call them what?
Well, call him Akhemas. Akhema, yeah. They could call him Herbs, as they call him, Herbs. That's the nickname, Herbs, in the RAF. He was a flying officer. The last time I saw him, AC-1. His friend was a squadron leader. But what about Tuck then? Puck. Puck was a very well educated. He was a corporal for 17 years. 17 years as a corporal. And very well educated. A rank a bit more than what I was. He had a college education. He was very advanced. Very nice speaking man. Tall fellow. And not only that, he's a corporal of 70 years. They made him a wing commander straight away and in charge of records at Rooster. In charge of records at Rooster along with a ground officer. And what do you think of that now? 17 years. And yet they made him going over there. Most amazing, isn't it? In charge of all that area, that department. Most amazing. Oh, he died. He drank a lot of beer. He died about 2 or 3 years back. But he was always enjoying himself. He had his pint and that was his life. That was his life. He had a wing commander.
You would have been at Duxford during the Battle of Britain.
Yeah.
How did that affect your life, affect your duties in the transport section?
No, nothing at all, just the same. Carried on just the same. Do what you want to do. Do. Anything, I was there for transport, I was there for.
Yeah. You told me that on transport you had been driving the petrol bowser, or you had been driving children to school,
yeah,
things like that. What were you doing during the wartime?
Oh, on tankers again. Because a lot of refueling to be done. They put me back on tankers. Until the Labour Exchange found out that about me, then they offered me another letter to a realist from Records, RAF Records. Another letter. Will you please, we would like to know, will you accept the sum of £60 to a realist? I still said no. You didn't want me. You weren't interested before the war, and that's the course I'm taking now. And it's only right, wasn't it?
I believe that was 1943.
Yes, right.
When you left Duxford,
yes,
and you went to,
yeah,
Marshall's.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
How did that come about? It was very sudden, wasn't it?
Where?
It was very sudden that you had to leave Duxford.
Oh, yes, yes, yeah.
Why was that?
To know. No. The place altered, completely altered. 19 Squadron, I heard they were wiped out. And we went overseas, that's what I heard. And 66 squadron, they had a lot of casualties. Dunkirk, I think. Yeah.
Were you at Duxford when the Americans came?
No, I just left. Yeah, that's right, I just left. Yeah. There's a terrible crash happened there at that time. You were in a Yangtze there. Terrible. A huge bomber pancaked on top of the buildings, the modern buildings. They were on night duty. They were sleeping in bed, just panked it, all the lock went up. Terrible thing that was, yeah. I wasn't there then, but I heard about it. Terrible crash.
Then I believe after Marshall's, you went to the onto the Air Ministry.
Well, I don't know, but I do. It was during the war. This was. I don't know who. Because it was under one rule then, wasn't it, during the war, wasn't it? And, from the government, didn't it? You don't know who was. Yeah, I think he's joint owner or something of an aircraft before the war, Marshall and what, but I think the government took command of the whole lot.
When you were at Duxford during the war,
yeah,
were you also involved at Falmir?
No, nothing at all, no. No, nothing at all to do with that, no. No. No.
They had the Spitfires there, didn't they?
There were Spitfires when I left. They were coming in, forming up, you see. The Poles, Czechs and English and British, brother.